This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
FFT After Dark. We love it. An evening show. It is Sunday, July 26th, 8:43 p.m. Almost bedtime for some of us. We welcome you to Fantasy Football Today. Today, we have a fun show. We're going to talk about a little bit about the wide receiver blob and which type of receiver is most likely to jump out of that blob and be really good. We're going to talk about early training camp buzz. What are the reporters saying? What are the coaches saying? What matters right now? We've got some buy or sell from the audience. We have some emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. And we have Dave Richard. Hello, Dave. Happy belated. How was your 50th?
It was great. Spent a lot of time at one of my favorite places with my favorite people. And it was a fun weekend all the way around. And the best part is that football is going to be back. And we're going to have a Hall of Fame game next weekend. Is that possibly correct? That is correct. It might be before the weekend. Football's back, Adam. Holy crap.
I think this was the last Sunday without football until the Super Bowl.
That's the best news I've heard. I just turned 50. That's the best news I've heard all weekend. Yeah.
Also, I think I saw a post of yours on X. Very appreciative of all the love from all the listeners and viewers out there who wish Dave a happy birthday.
And you guys, especially for the cookie cake. That thing was awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Did it get eaten?
Oh, man, did it get... It was gone in like 45 minutes.
Good.
Yeah, our office loved the cookie cake. I'm not saying... I should have mentioned that it was other people that ate the cookie cake and not me who ate the whole thing in 45 minutes.
All right, listen, let's get to the show here, but I just want to say we're doing a pick-by-pick draft right now, which is just a draft that we're doing where we each pick from two spots in the draft. Like Jamie has 1-7, I have 2-8, Dave has 3-9, Jacob has 4-10, Dan has 5-11, and Heath has picks 6-12, and then we'll write articles about how to pick from each spot and what we learn. But it's just so funny to look at this draft, and it's so different than what, not so different, but somewhat different than what I usually see from our CBS draft, so... drafts are living, breathing things, and you can follow ADP all you want, but sometimes guys fall to you, and it's an awesome feeling when you get the guy that you didn't expect. All right, fun fact to start the show, let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys wide receivers, and I just want you all to think, what would happen if CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens got basically the same amount of targets? Well, George Pickens has been in the league for 4 years. He has averaged more yards per target and more yards per catch than CeeDee Lamb in all four of his seasons. Since 2022, when he entered the league, George Pickens is fifth in yards per catch and sixth in yards per target among 130 wide receivers with 100 or more targets. He's fifth or sixth in both yards per catch and yards per target. Lamb is 61st in yards per catch and 29th in yards per target. In this same stretch, in the totality of Pickens' career, he's 23rd in fantasy points per target in PPR. Lamb is 30th. And Lamb was a little bit better in this stat while he was on Dallas and Pickens was on Pittsburgh. But last year, Pickens crushed Lamb in fantasy points per target, 2.14 to 1.72. So if you think about that, and you think about the fact that Pickens actually outscored Lamb after Lamb came back from the injury, do we have it right, Dave Richard, picking Lamb in the first round and Pickens in the second round?
I'm nervous to take both Cowboys receivers that soon, but when it's Lamb in late round one and Pickens in late round two, and maybe he bleeds into early round three, I'm good with it. I still think that Dallas's offense is going to be pass heavy. Still think both of these guys can earn upwards of 8 targets per game. That's the number that really you want to chase. 7 is good. 8 is actually amazing. And so if these guys, and they averaged 8 targets per game when they were playing together for all of last year, when they were on the field together all of last year. And so if they're going to keep that going and they're going to be the 1-1A in Dallas, yes, these are, let's just call them like top 26 picks, but neither of them should be top 10.
Lamb should be top 10. I think you're looking at these two guys and how they performed at times last year. CeeDee Lamb played a good portion of the season through an injury. George Pickens took advantage significantly of the games that CeeDee Lamb was out. The thing that makes me a little bit concerned, Dave talked about this a lot, the defense being better for Dallas. The other thing to keep an eye on is they seem to love Ryan Flannoy. and we'll see how much of a factor he is if he takes away from the 8 targets per game for these guys. You know, Jake Ferguson's still going to be somewhat of a factor. He had over 100 targets last year, so he's going to be involved in this also. And yes, the run game could be questionable, but it could also still be good enough that it's still a significant factor. So there's a lot of things at play here. I do love the fact for George Pickens that he's still in a contract year technically. So that's going to help the motivation, as we saw last year, clearly playing with a better quarterback in a better offense than he's been in previous time in his career with Pittsburgh, should help. But look, if you're getting these guys at the appropriate spots, so just to give you an example, I don't love where Heath took George Pickens in the middle of round 2 in the pick-by-pick draft you're going to see. So he took him ahead of Nico Collins and A.J. Brown. I don't know how many people would disagree with that. I would. I would rather have those other two players over Pickens, even though
me too.
Both last year. So I would prefer him where Dave said end of round 2, early part of round 3. I just don't think he's going to get there. I would take a chance on CeeDee Lamb end of round 1.
But why?
You said he was top 10. Like, you're okay with him top 10. And then you just made a great case for, like,
my 10th overall player.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to. That's fine. If you want to put him at 10, that's fine.
All right. But why? I mean, I'm pretty sure that George Pickens is going to average more yards per target and more yards per catch than CeeDee Lamb. He's done it, like I said, all 4 years of his career. If you're looking at this graphic and you're like, what is 5th and 6th compared to 61st, 29th, whatever. Again, these are stats, except for what's on the bottom there. These are stats for the last 4 seasons of their careers, which is all of George Pickens' career and the prime of CeeDee Lamb. And he's just been so much better per catch and so much better per target. And he's actually averaged more fantasy points per target, even though 3 of those 4 years were in Pittsburgh. Amazing.
Numbers last year, were they even like a wider discrepancy last year?
In terms of rank of yards per catch and target, not sure.
I mean, I care more about the overall number and not the rank necessarily, but.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was. I don't have it right in front of me, but yes, he was a lot. He's usually more of a downfield guy, which is why the yards per catch and target are going to be higher. But last year, Lamb had a higher ADOT than George Pickens, which was very surprising. I don't really think there's any way to slice it. Like, George Pickens was better than CeeDee Lamb last year, particularly after Lamb came back from the injury.
I just don't know how healthy he was.
I think he performed as if he were pretty healthy, but you're right. He just had very bad touchdown luck. I guess I'm just saying, how confident are you that Lamb is going to be better than Pickens? I am slightly confident, but not very.
If you're slightly confident, I would be more confident than that.
Right. What's the next leap up from slightly? I'm confident. I think that push comes to shove, he's going to end up having more targets than Pickens. Okay. Well, yeah. I think if he's going to be the short area target by comparison to Pickens, not saying that every catch he's going to get is going to be 5 yards away from the line of scrimmage, and he's going to be a red zone factor, then that should be enough for him to more than make up for whatever difference there is in yards per target and yards per catch.
Do you have it azer-statted of what Pickens did in the games where CeeDee Lamb was healthy?
Yeah, I do. If you want
his points per game or what?
I've got it.
Okay. I don't have it if you include weeks 1 and 2, but from week 7.
No, you have to include weeks 1 and 2.
My opinion was he wasn't really a big part of the offense at that point.
He was on the field playing on the team.
Then no, I don't have that. But okay. I do have
games with CeeDee Lamb when CeeeDee Lamb was 100%, but not when CeeDee Lamb was not 100%.
No. I'm not trying to deny. I would take Lamb ahead of Pickens too.
You're not. I just want to know what the numbers were.
Go ahead. Dave has it.
I've got it. 16.6 PPR points per game on 9.7 targets per game. This is in weeks 1 and 2, 7 through 17, 12 games, everything except week 3 game when CeeDee left early. Mm-hmm. Pickens at 16.1. So it's a half point per game difference in those games. The target per game difference, what did I say for Lamb? It was 9.7 targets per game. Pickens had 8.3.
Okay.
And I don't think it's going to be that high for the reasons that Jamie pointed out. It's why I jumped in when Jamie was done talking about how the defense is going to be better. The run game should be a little bit better. Ryan Flannoy, Jake Ferguson, like those guys could take away. Like, it makes me worry a little bit about, I mean, certainly about 9.7 targets per game for CeeDee Lamb. I think that number, maybe it's like the ceiling, but probably more likely is 8 to 8.5. And I think Pickens is going to be 7.5 to 8.
Okay.
And both are awesome. We're going to have a hard time finding receivers that are going to average 7.5 targets a game.
Well, that's a topic for Well, that's an answer for our next topic, which is an email of the day from Scott at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
All right, you read the email and then go make a pick.
All right.
Man, Jamie, you are just
crazy
with this. After we answer the email, when you read the next one, Dave's going to go make a pick.
All right.
I might be able to make a pick while he's answering the email.
Who cares about that, though? Let's focus on the task at hand here.
Well, because we have Heath on a mountain that we need to get picks from him.
Okay. Since we have the wide receiver blob again this year, which wide receiver stepped out of the blob last year and why? How can we analyze that and apply this to this year's blob so we can pick the blob winners and sleepers?
Talked about one of them.
Who?
Pickens.
Pickens was the ultimate winner from the
blob. Olave.
Yeah, but Pickens was so much better than Olave. Not so much better, but he was better. Last year, the blob winners, I looked at rounds 4 through 6. They were Garrett Wilson and Davante Adams in round 4. Nobody in round 5. Zay Flowers and George Pickens in round 6. Rashee Rice in round 6. I didn't really count him because he was suspended. He never would have been a 6-round pick. And then Olave, I think, was actually in round 7. So Pickens was the man. He averaged 17 points per game. I think the answer is you're looking for the most targets when you get to this range. But Zay Flowers would disagree with you there. But I've looked at rounds 4 through 6 in the last 4 seasons, and most of the guys who jump out who have the best seasons, they have more than 7 targets per game and more than almost 8, most of them in rounds 4 through 6.
I think the thing, like the criteria you want to look for, is who could be number one on their team, right?
It's easy to start there.
Then I think you look for who's going to have good quarterbacks, who's going to be in good offenses, right? So like when you're comparing Carnell Tate versus who else is in the blob? Carnell Tate versus
is Tate even a good example?
I mean, Jamison Williams, I think, is a perfect one, right?
Jamison Williams, sure.
To okay. Compare those two.
I was thinking of like a receiver in the 30s that hasn't done anything yet, but like
Alex.
Carnell Tate's going in the same range as DJ Moore, Mike Evans, Marvin Harrison Jr., Jamison Williams.
Yeah, so you take those guys and you start to say, okay, who's number one on their team? They all seem to be except for Jamison. Marvin, there's some question. DJ Moore, you could say yes, is number one. Carnell Tate, you should think is number one. But
when you say number one, I mean, are we talking about with the tight end too? Because Marvin Harrison wouldn't be.
No, I'm thinking number one receiver. But sure, you want to say number one in targets, sir. I think then you start to look at, okay, who's got good quarterbacks? Well, DJ Moore certainly does. Carnell Tate, we'll see. Jamison Williams, you know he does, but doesn't necessarily benefit him as good as his quarterback is. So it's, you know, it's the nitpicking, right? It's when we start to this player versus that player. You like to do this all the time. I think you say number one or top 10 upside. I like to expand that a little bit more, you know, so if I'm taking somebody that's outside the top 20, can they still be a top 20 receiver? And I feel like I got a good return on investment if that's the case. So, you know, if Carnell Tate finishes 20, I don't know how satisfied you are, Adam, you know, but like for me, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah, I'd be pretty happy. I think that'd be kind of like taking Tetterell McMillan last year. And you had a guy that was a little frustrating at times, but had some big weeks and was usually a guy in a 3-receiver league that you were starting. It's a tough question to answer. And the truth is there aren't that many guys year after year. You might get from rounds 4 through 6, you might get about 15 wide receivers drafted somewhere around there. And you might get 4 or 5 that end up scoring, you know, 15 or more or 14.5 or more fantasy points. Most of them are going to fall short. But the one thing I have noticed is the targets, and you could have some super efficient guys like a Brandon Ayuk, like a Terry McLaurin who scored all those touchdowns, like a Zay Flowers last year. They were able to have standout seasons with less than 7 targets per game. But I found 12 other standouts in that 4-year stretch, and they all averaged 7.8 or more targets per game. And I didn't even include one of the Rashee Rice seasons because one was 3 games and one was last year where he was suspended, but he obviously averaged more than 7.8 targets per game. So that would be the key number for me. I don't know if you guys see anyone who you think could approach 8. When you start to get to round 7 or later, look for 7 or more targets. When you're in rounds 4 through 6, I think you need to be looking for about 8 or more targets, which is what, 136 targets For a season. So who could do that, Dave, you think, in rounds 4 through 6 or thereabouts?
I almost feel like looking for somebody to get 8 targets per game is like looking for a unicorn.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, take Davante Adams as an example. He had over 8 targets per game last year, but the reason why he was so good for fantasy was because he scored all those touchdowns.
He did get 8 targets per game.
It was crazy.
McConkey?
He's never... I think he's touched 7, like as a rookie. Like he had a stretch where he might have been just over 7 targets per game. But I can't expect Ladd McConkey to get 8 targets a game. They're talking about another wide receiver in L.A. now. Trey Harris stepping up and doing more work there. And that's not a reason to pass on Ladd McConkey. It's just a reason to look at him and say, can he get to 7? Yes. And I think that's the number that's a lot more realistic is, can I find a wide receiver? And then this is later on. This isn't in the Carnell Tate range. This is before then. This is in that round. What'd you say, Jamie? 3 to 5, 4 to 6, something like that?
I said 4 to 6.
Okay, so in the round 4 to 6 range, yeah, I'm looking for somebody with certainly more than 7 targets per game and touchdown potential. Don't give me a wide receiver on a team that goes run heavy inside the 10, because that's when you're going to lose opportunities. We've been dealing with that with Zay Flowers his whole career, and it's been frustrating.
Speaking of rounds 4 through 6, Dave, you are up after Ladd McConkey just went to Jacob.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't know that.
Okay. And then Adam is on deck.
Yeah, you were telling me to pick.
Did anybody take my receiver? No one took my receiver. My gamble paid off.
I already made my pick. You were telling me to pick. All right, we're gonna take a break. Come back. Give you the early training camp buzz. Dave just mentioned Trey Harris for the Los Angeles Chargers, second year receiver who apparently is gonna have a role. We'll give you some news and notes. We'll give you that. We'll give you some buy or sell and more when we come back on Fantasy Football Today. By the way, Emeka Abuka has a 4th round ADP right now, and that's someone I could definitely see. I think we could all see a scenario where he's getting 136 targets, 8 per game, or at least somewhere around there. And Dave actually just took him 27th overall in this pick by pick. That's Emeka Abuka, 1 pick before Jeremiah Love. So, all right, a couple things I need to promote real quick. Draftathon is here. Our Draftathon page is live. If we have an easy, fun URL for you, I don't know if we have it right now, but we'll probably have it by the next time we have a show. We can put it in the episode description. But here are some things you can pay for to support St. Jude. It all goes to St. Jude. Mailbag questions answered. Being in mock drafts with us. That's what's on the site right now, but pretty soon we'll have FFT open spots. We'll have being in the podcast league, all these different drafts you can join. And right now, though, mailbag questions and mock drafts that we're going to start doing on Tuesday nights. The other thing I want to tell you about is our new and improved fantasy app. And you can scan the QR code that you see here at youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday and download the app. It's the latest fantasy advice from our experts, not me, which is a good thing. Up-to-date consensus rankings in PPR and non-PPR, ADP rankings, trends from CBS leagues like the most added players, most started, which is obviously going to help you during the season, player news, and in-depth player stats. Download the CBS Sports Fantasy app, and you can scan that QR code, and it will make it easy for you.
Adam.
Yeah.
I was asked what feedback I had on the app, and so I started to give feedback, and the guy said, no, not from you, idiot, from people who are fans that are using the app. So by all means, download the app, take a look at it, and then drop me a line with what you think about it, and I will get it to the powers that be. We want it to be your favorite fantasy app.
Cool. News and notes. Scary stuff for Kyle Shanahan. He was in a car accident on July 14th, and he has a severe concussion, so he hasn't been cleared yet to basically return from the concussion protocol. He also has some other injuries, and those will heal. And hopefully, though, back soon for Kyle Shanahan, coach of the 49ers, who has the concussion. More 49ers news. George Kittle is on the PUP list, but still hoping to be ready for week 1, according to San Francisco GM John Lynch. Rams rookie quarterback Ty Simpson signed his contract, so now every first-round pick has signed their rookie deal. And Aaron Donald is still undecided about returning. We'll see if he does, but he's pretty cool. Patrick Mahomes has been fully cleared. He says he feels amazing. Hooray for Mahomes.
He admitted that he ran too much last year. And a couple of people have asked me, they looked at my rankings and they said, why is Patrick Mahomes so low? And I said, well, you can look at what he did in 24 and 23. And then you could also look at what he did in 26. And obviously the lot of rushing that he did, that was great. But he even said himself that maybe he ran a little too much last year. And so if he dials that back, maybe cut the numbers in half from last year. Maybe he's around 20 to 22 fantasy points per game, especially when you throw in Kenneth Walker and what he might mean to this offense.
I was thinking about this earlier, that last year there was this Chiefs stretch. It was Mahomes. I don't remember the order. Mahomes, Worthy, Kelsey, Rice, because of the suspension, Pacheco, all going, you know, rounds 5 through 7 or so. And now you've got Walker going in the second, maybe bleeds into the third round. And then everyone else is, oh, sorry, Rice too. You got Rice and Walker early, but you had those three Chiefs that were going maybe in round 5 last year. They're going pretty late in Mahomes, Worthy, and Kelsey. And that's kind of cool. More news. Quinshon Judkins is going to be full go for camp. Carolina rookie wide receiver Chris Brazel is limited with a knee injury. Baltimore defensive lineman Nnamdi Matabuke has been cleared to return from a neck injury. That's awesome. He's a great player. And Baltimore also signed wide receiver Chris Moore. And Detroit safety Kirby Joseph said he's going to avoid the pup list. And Jimmy, that's what I've been thinking about a lot, is this Lions defense. Because if the Lions have a bad defense, I'm not saying they will, but they got a cornerback that they had to release because of off-field issues. They have two safeties who are banged up right now. The fact that Kirby Joseph is saying he's going to avoid the pup list is good. But two safeties, we don't
know. Doesn't mean playing, though.
Right.
Correct.
We don't know their status. I mean, a bad Lions defense is the best thing we could possibly ask for fantasy, Jamie. And it would solve a lot of the problems when you think about the target crunch.
Bad Lions defense, bad Bengals defense, bad Cowboys defense. Like, let's keep some of those trends continuing, as we saw last season. Bad Cardinals defense was good too. So right. it'd be fun to see. Bad drafting by you. Go make a pick.
All right, fine.
Jamie's locked in on this draft, by the way.
You have the notes in front of you. You can read some of the training camp buzz and discuss it.
Well, Marvin Harrison left the field tonight. I don't think you had that in there.
Oh, no, I didn't.
He apparently tweaked his back in an 11-on-11 drill. So Michael Wilson, fantasy managers.
Jamie picked up. Okay.
It was not me.
Oh, it was it?
No, I think it was Dan.
Dan selected Darius Slayton, Amani Toomer, Isaiah Pacheco, and Brad Kaya for me in this draft.
Okay. If it was Dan, then he's a 50-year-old genius.
I had a feeling when I saw it was Kaya, that was you. All right, yeah. Marvin Harrison, sorry about laughing during that injury update there. My bad.
It looked like he had gotten off to a really good start in camp, too. I mean, it's camp. It's early on.
He had one really bad drop that was making the rounds of.
Yeah, but that was like there was nobody on him. You're talking about the one that was like way over his head.
Yeah, I mean, it was lazy.
Yeah, that's meaningless. None of it's really meaningful. He's practicing some 11-on-11. He's gained decent targets. Brissett admitted that he didn't even know the offense yet. This season for Arizona is going to go great.
So, okay, Zach Charbonnet, don't know a timetable on him. Mike McDonald is very encouraged by his rehab. Dave, what did you think about what Sean McVay said about Blake Corum? Just so effusive in his praise of Blake Corum.
Yeah,
he's a stud. He's going to have a big role.
I don't think he's going to take Kyron off the field in every single high leverage situation. So near the goal line, yeah, Corum's going to get some run at times. Third down, I don't think Corum will be in there as much. But as for like raw carries between the 20s, if you told me there was a split between Corum and Kyron, I'd probably believe you. And so that kind of stinks for Kyron, but I also think that's baked in to what his ADP is. And it's kind of been what he's been doing anyway for the better part of at least last season, most of last season. And Kyron still averaged 15 PPR points per game last season. So this shouldn't scare people off of taking Kyron. It should scare people from maybe reaching for Kyron. But if he's going, where did he go in the draft that we're doing right now, Jamie?
Fourth round.
I mean, that's awesome. I think that's awesome.
No, I'm sorry. Third round. He went with the second to last pick in the third round.
Awesome. I'm good with that.
Yeah, I took Josh Jacobs ahead of him.
I would too.
I don't really think Josh Jacobs is going to get suspended. I think that ADP is going to...
No.
And I took Malik Nabers in round 4. So, Dave, if you just kept guessing, you probably could have got picked.
Yeah, you have no risk with that team of McCaffrey, Rice, Jacobs, and Nabers.
No risk it, no biscuit. Going to make Bruce Arians my avatar. McCaffrey, you love that team, though. Right?
I do. Yeah,
it's fun.
Oh, McCaffrey, Rice, Jacobs, and Nabers. I'm going to write the column right now. Just write game over. All right, so we got
it go either way.
Yeah, game over one way or the other. We got Arizona running back news, or not news, but buzz. Offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. He basically praised everyone. He praised the entire running back room. He said, he's definitely a rookie, and he's going to continue to grow. And they're excited for him, but they're excited for all of the guys. So we really got nothing there. Jamie, what do you think about the role for Woody Marks? Running backs coach Danny Barrett for Houston said Woody Marks is going to get a lot of opportunities this season, including on third down.
I mean, look, anything you're going to hear from a position coach, an offense coordinator, even a head coach, you got to take it with a grain of salt, and just whatever your bias is, this is confirmation bias season right now. So if you are, oh my God, I can't wait for David Montgomery in his role, and you hear this, you're like, I don't care. It's still going to be David Montgomery. If you're like, David Montgomery sucked last year and he's older and he's going to a team that, you know, may not give him the same touchdown opportunities that he had in Detroit 33 in the last three seasons, then Woody Marks has an opportunity to play on third downs and still be very involved. This was a guy that caught a lot of passes in college. So, you know, somebody that could be very successful in PPR leagues if used appropriately and effective with CJ Stroud. So I think Woody Marks is a good pick in the double digit rounds. You're banking on either a Montgomery injury or that role to be there for him in the passing game, but he's not going to be the same type of guy that we saw. The playoff game that you saw from last year had over 100 yards rushing. I would throw that out the window. This is David Montgomery's backfield as long as he's healthy.
More buzz. It really seems like Kansas City is pumped about Ken Walker, doesn't it? Like, they're really going to feature him.
I can't get enough Ken Walker. I mean, I've drafted him in the last three drafts. Somebody posted in on the YouTube chat, because we were talking about the team, that I took Walker over Hampton. I couldn't tell if that was I made a mistake in the rankings or the drafting, or because I talk up the Chargers as much as I do. But I like Walker better than Hampton. I think this is a chance for him, if he stays healthy, to be an absolute dominant force on that team. Dave alluded to it. You know, Mahomes not running as much. The receiving core being very incomplete, in my opinion, behind Rice and Kelsey. It's just an opportunity to everything that they have told us this offseason. Quarterback coming off injury, getting three new running backs, one in the draft, one significant in free agency, the Super Bowl MVP. And then, you know, a guy that could be a complimentary piece in DeMarcado. Like, they want to be better running the ball. And you're hearing Brian Westbrook 2.0. That gets me excited when I hear that about Ken Walker.
What does that mean to you, though? To me, that would suggest a big role in the passing game.
I think they're going to use him in the passing game. He's obviously not going to be Brian Westbrook in the passing game. But we've seen when Walker is involved in the passing game, he's not as bad as I think the perception of him is. And you go back, I forget which school he was at last or first, Michigan State.
I think it was Wake Forest.
He was more involved in the passing game there, you know, and I remember sitting there with him, you know, Ryan Wilson, when he was on the show with us, he likes to make the comment that I kind of put him on the spot, where he had Walker ranked ahead of Breece Hall in that draft class. We're at the combine. And I said that to Breece Hall. I'm like, yeah, this guy likes Ken Walker better than you. And, you know, Breece Hall gave him the death stare. But a lot of the knock on him was the lack of ability in the passing game. And I think he's got the opportunity to not necessarily dispel that completely, but to get an opportunity to show that in this offense, he can be a pretty successful pass catcher.
Okay. Back to the buzz. Jordan James seems to be the very early leader to be the number two running back behind Christian McCaffrey. Christian Kirk with the 49ers now. He left practice with a trainer. Is that today or yesterday? I think it was today, right? Or yesterday.
Today. Yeah, I think the substation's already got him. Hey.
Jonathan Brooks is looking good. Dave Canales says, it's not just about taking the hits and absorbing, but it's also about hitting the ground and just feeling your legs and getting comfortable with that. So just encouraging him to be confident, play fast, and all the rest of it in his timing will come back.
He's going to have his first padded practice since 2024, like November of 2024 this week.
Nice. Let's go. Good luck to him.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, this is what Dave alluded to earlier. ESPN's Chris Rim says that the Chargers expect Trey Harris to be a legitimate part of the passing offense. What does that mean to you, Dave?
I don't think it means that he's going to take so much work away from McConkey, but if he ends up, I'm sorry for stuttering so much, but Trey Harris, when he came to the Chargers, it reminded me a lot of Quentin Johnson, like some of the things that QJ could do. And so when they drafted Trey Harris, I thought, oh, this is the end of Quentin Johnson with the Chargers because Trey Harris will just be the next guy. And I wonder if a couple of the coaches are going to give him the chance to maybe split that role. And if that's the case, then all the offseason hype that we've had about Quentin Johnston is going to fade really, really quick. Let's just see what happens. I didn't think he was a complete receiver when he came into the NFL, but sometimes these guys need a season to understand the game and then they grow from it. He's definitely got some speed and some after-catch ability. That's always a big thing in a Mike McDaniel offense. And we'll see how he fits into this whole puzzle in LA.
That's a great question, Adam, about – or great – this is a great example about what kind of you're asking about what you believe, what you don't believe. We've heard big year coming for Ladd McConkey, big year coming for Quentin Johnston, big year coming for Charlie Kohler, big year coming for Keaton Mitchell, big year coming for Trey Harris. Which side of those do you want to be on?
Yeah, I
want to be on Justin Herbert.
It's the only thing that scares me about McConkey is when he broke out the second half of his rookie year, Quentin Johnston wasn't really doing that much. Trey Harris wasn't on the team. Arondé Gadsden wasn't on the team.
David Keenan Allen wasn't on the team either.
That's true. David Njoku wasn't on the team. But yes, Keenan Allen, that's one thing. I believe Keenan Allen led the team in targets last year.
He did.
That's a we don't talk about that enough. Huge vacancy there. So, all right, you know what? I'm just going to let the listeners in on a dilemma I'm having here. I'm up with my fifth pick with this team two here. So doing our pick by pick. Jamie at the... at the 4-5 turn, just took DJ Moore and Quinshon Judkins. So with team one,
I couldn't be happier that you guys let me get DJ Moore at the end of round four.
But that's the thing. You know, you picked DJ Moore. You could have had the same dilemma I'm dealing with now. I'm deciding between Garrett Wilson, Devontae Adams.
Garrett Wilson's been gone a long time, my friend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No one removed him from the list. All right.
Yeah. Cross him off.
He was supposed to be removed. All right. That makes this easier then. now it's the one I can never decide. Boy. Adams versus Evans. I'm gonna go with Adams.
I'm stammering. You're missing guys in the chat in the draft.
That wasn't
room.
My fault. All right, Devontae Adams.
Okay.
So should I have taken Evans? Who do you like better, Adams or Evans?
Evans.
Adams.
Thanks, guys. All right, let's do some buy or sell. Oh wait, I think I had one more note. Training camp buzz. Oh, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN says that the Giants have been highly impressed by rookie wide receiver Malachi Fields.
I mean, this is the season. Everybody looks great. Everybody looks great until they're not.
Yeah. All right. Buy or sell.
By the way, we had a few people asking in the chat to see the board. We cannot show you the board because this is not one of those drafts that we display until it's done. So this will be on the site this week. This is our pick by pick series where the three of us, along with Dan Schneier, Jacob Gibbs, and Heath, we all do two teams in a 12-team PPR draft and show you what our strategies are. As I will always tell you, look at the positions more so than the names of the player. See if you like the way the builds go. But that's just, you know, so like Adam's dilemma. You might like Evans or Adams or Carnell Tate better. You know, that's just his decision. But he made the decision to go wide receiver, and that's more important.
But would you have taken Garrett Wilson or DJ Moore?
I would have taken Garrett Wilson.
Same. And that's the thing is you're talking about you could in theory, I don't think it's going to happen. You could in theory be talking about the best offense in the NFL versus the worst offense in the NFL. Or right?
True, but you're also talking about a younger player that I think if things go right for him versus things going right for DJ Moore, I think Garrett Wilson's ceiling's higher.
Yeah, I just think that that's where doing the research and showing that targets seem to matter more than offense. I'm not saying that should be everything you consider and you're just going, all right, targets, he's going to get more targets because Wilson's probably going to get more targets than DJ Moore. Well, he's going to get more. Don't make that everything, but please consider it. That is definitely something that you want to consider. I just said consider twice in a row. That was poorly worded when you consider my job. We will be right back with consideration for these commercials after this on Fantasy Football Today. We're back on Fantasy Football Today. Buy or sell from the audience, from Daddy O. Buy or sell. Cam Scadaboo will be a top five running back with Patrick Ricard in fullback in John Harbaugh's run-heavy offense. And I don't believe Nagy will hold him back. Harbaugh's running the show. He doesn't even answer to Joe Shane.
I have a hard time believing it. Have a hard time buying it. So I guess that means I'm selling him being top five. top 10 is within the range of possibilities, if you ask me. But staying healthy is obviously going to be a big factor. That's something that's going to be in the front of our minds when we talk about Scatabu. But everything else kind of sets up nicely for him. Offensive line got improved. You mentioned Ricard, the fullback. You mentioned Harbaugh. We know Harbaugh's track record. I think the way to mitigate the risks there, and I've been talking about this all offseason, draft Tyrone Tracy before anybody else in the league thinks about drafting Tyrone Tracy. If you draft Cam Scatabu, locking up the Giants run game, it kind of makes sense if this is how they're going to operate this year.
Or just take Tyrone Tracy and let somebody else take Scatabu.
What scares you about Scatabu other than injuries?
I mean, scares? That's probably the biggest thing, you know?
That's the biggest scare.
Because you saw his involvement in the passing game. That's probably the other thing, because when he did all of his wonderful things that he did last season before the injury, there was no Malik Nabers, there was no Isaiah Likely, there was Wandale Robinson, but you know the receiving core was just significantly different.
By the way, side note, Jamie obviously was unmoved by my speech on Friday's show, because he just took Christian Watson before Lamar Jackson.
Well, it was, again, this is how we show different things, right? So that was one draft that I could show an example of. I decided to take the quarterback over the receiver. This one, I take the receiver over the quarterback. Different builds, how it played itself out. I think same pick, but different builds. I did go Taylor and Walker, I think, in both of those, maybe. Sounds right.
Yeah, I think so.
The difference is that I know who I'm drafting with for sure here, and there'll probably be a good quarterback that's available to me next round.
There will definitely be a good quarterback available to you. Okay, next
box. But I was typing Lamar Jackson and did delete.
Really?
And go back into Christian Watson.
That's all, folks. Frank in the chat. We're worrying way, buy or sell. We're worrying way too much about the Eagles offense, and Devontae Smith and Jalen Hurts are undervalued at their ADP. Devontae Smith, I have to spell it properly, is going 39th as wide receiver 16. And Jalen Hurts is QB6, 57th overall. Buy or sell, they're undervalued, and we shouldn't be so worried about the Eagles' offense.
More Hurts than Devontae Smith. I think Hurts, and I've seen Hurts go into the 80s in drafts. It's ridiculous to me. He's been so good for at least the first 3 months of the season pretty regularly over the course of his career. And I know that there's a bugaboo about him being healthy or being available or being good late in the year. That seems to be a trend with him. I'm not sweating it right now. Let's get the fantasy team off the ground and winning games, because they mean everything early in the year and late in the year. And I think he's a top five quarterback. I don't like that he's six. I would take him over Jaden Daniels. And I think Philadelphia's offense is obviously going to be better this year than where they were last year when they had a play caller that no one seemed to really love.
So I think Jalen Hurts, you can make a case for five to me. I think six is perfectly fine. There are always players like, every time I look at my rankings, I'm like, God, I like this guy so much better than where I have him. God, I want to move him up. I just keep holding back. And I'm like, you know, I'm not going to deal with Devontae Smith anymore. So he's, I'm just moving ahead of George Pickens a few days ago. So I had Pickens like early round three. And I just took Devontae Smith at the 2-3 turn. Like, to me, he's a late second round pick.
He's your guy, huh?
Love Devontae. I mean, whenever you see like the C's part and just the light is shining on something, like that's what Devontae Smith is staring at right now. Like, yeah. No AJ Brown. Everything is pointed in his direction, in his favor. Yes, Mekhi Lemon could do this. Yes, Marquise Brown could do that. Like, we've been waiting for this for a full season of him as the guy, and now he's the guy.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Okay, this one is from Jerome Roy. Buy or sell Bajal Touton as the lead back with the Jaguars?
Buy.
Buy.
Okay.
Was there a little hesitation there, Jamie?
Of course. I mean, look.
Hold on. Is the hesitation that he'll be the lead back, but he might not be great for fantasy? Or that he'll be the lead back, but it's going to be, like, very risky because Chris Rodriguez could come in?
Yes. Would not be surprised if this is a team that adds a running back at some point in the process. You know, last year they got rid of a running back in the process by the trading Tank Bigsby. If you recall, we were, hey, maybe Bigsby's their best guy. Established the run, very good fantasy site. They did their offensive line rankings, I believe, last week, or at least they had their podcast about it last week. I didn't listen to the podcast, but I saw some tweets about it. So very respected, you know, group of analysts they have over there. And they had the Jaguars offensive line like near the bottom. And I don't think they're alone in some of the evaluation on that. And so if they struggle to run the ball, which I think that's where it'll impact them more, running more so than pass blocking, they both could suck. So I don't want to get overly excited about either one, but I think if you're going to get excited about any of them, it's probably Tootin. Still.
I did see that about the Jaguars offensive line. Interesting stuff. All right, let me see where Sharp Football has them. Let's see, Sharp Football. Jacksonville, 17th. Okay, buy or sell from Esper. Jadarian Price hits the ground running, being by far the most productive guy in the backfield early on and greatly exceeds his draft value for the rest of the season. That is Jadarian Price, and he is going as RB26, 72nd overall.
Nervous about buying it. Schedule notwithstanding. Love his matchups in weeks 2 and 3. But worried about the Seahawks committing hard to using multiple running backs in that backfield and not giving their rookie passing down work, pass protection assignments, opportunities to run routes on third down, red zone work, inside the five work. Like, you can kind of see that team be sticklers about it. Think about how much they made sure not to let Kenneth Walker have so much of that role last year, and that Zach Charbonnet, they thought Charbonnet was better at it. Like, Price is going to have to show them so much in camp in order for him to earn those big time roles that we want him to have.
Really though?
Yeah. Because I mean, I know the other guys they have aren't great.
Exactly.
But
that's,
I know.
I was
but
on
Price
the clock.
Has to prove it. He has to go out there and prove it. And if he does that, we may not know that until week one. I mean, unless the reports are just so obvious and his play in the preseason and all that stuff like that, that can obviously happen. But yeah. That coaching staff was dead set on two backs all year.
But here's the thing. Let's just go back to last year. And Ken Walker really wasn't a great pick last year while Charbonnet was healthy. But he was good enough to be going 72nd. Right? You know what I'm saying? Even if they use two backs, you're not paying a feature back price for Jadarian.
The ADP is fine. You know, I think I was overexcited about him following the draft. So, you know, I was guilty of, oh, this is such a great fit because they needed somebody to come in and replace two guys, not just one guy. They're replacing two guys because we don't know exactly when Charbonnet is going to come back. My biggest fear is that we see a little too much of Helani, a little too much of Emmanuel Wilson. And then by the time Price gets going, now Charbonnet is back. To whatever level he's back, it's just going to take away a little bit from what Price is doing. And so I think if you're getting him, hey, this is one of my flex guys. This is somebody that could hopefully work in and maybe be a definite starter. I love that. But I think if you're drafting him, like, I want him to be my RB2. So like it's easy to debate him with a similar rookie situation to last year, Travion Henderson, who had some amazing moments and clearly was disappointing for a good portion. That they're going in a similar range. Well, I guess Henderson at this point.
Henderson was going higher than that last
year. RJ Harvey is in a similar range. You look at the two veteran guys that nobody wants, Tony Pollard and Chuba Hubbard. Like, I think it's easier to make a case for those two guys than it is for Price. But why would you want to take? Why would you not want to take a first round pick in this offense? So you're probably going to take Price sooner than that. You know, Bashel Tootin, another one. You know, guy that could be awesome in all the vacated touches that are there without Travis Etienne gone. There's just a lot of ways to chop that up when you look at the different running backs there. So I'm very hopeful for Price. You know, we have our rookie draft finally in your league coming up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm curious now that there's more talking points. We see where he goes because he's still going to be the second running back drafted. But will he go ahead of he's not going to go ahead of at this point, at least I would assume, Tate, Tyson, and Lemon. But there was some debate about that right after the NFL draft. Now he's probably going to go behind Concepcion, and this is a super flex league, right?
Yeah.
He's going to go behind, you know, obviously Mendoza. I doubt he goes behind Simpson, but, you know, you get the point. Like, he's starting to fall to the middle of the first round as opposed to where he was a consensus top five pick in, you know, the rookie draft right after the NFL draft.
I know. I was on the clock the other day and thinking about Jadarian Price, and I didn't select him. I don't remember who I picked. I think I picked Bashel Tootin, and I'm just going, man, am I really afraid of George Helani and Emmanuel Wilson? This is a guy that they took in the first round. Charbonnet, obviously we have to see what happens there, but he's yes, he might be back fairly early in the year. He's also coming off a torn ACL. Charbonnet scored 12. They had between Walker and Charbonnet last year, they had 17 rushing touchdowns. Charbonnet scored 12 of them. And that's why Walker was
over 400 total touches that are available.
It's four. Yeah. And it's RB. He was RB 28 Walker. He was RB 28 last year in full PPR. He had 31 or 32 catches in 17 games. He only had five touchdowns. That seems like a worst case scenario. How can you play 17 games as basically the lead back and score five touchdowns? That's tough.
Now take the best case scenario where there was one guy missing in the playoffs and Ken Walker was an absolute monster.
I know. I don't personally think that price is
correct.
Nearly
you should not. You should not anticipate that. But again,
but he was drafted ahead of him,
huh?
He was drafted ahead of Ken Walker.
Right. Walker wasn't a first round pick.
But I that don't really. Matter. I don't really. I mean, it matters a little.
Well, Walker's college pedigree was so much better.
Yeah, I know, but it was.
I think so. I think so, but I don't want to make it seem like Price is like a bad player just because he didn't have a ton of touches at Notre Dame. Because he was playing behind a guy who was a special player. So that's why I toe the line on Jadarian Price is because I think he is a talented running back, and I think he's capable of playing in this league. I just don't know if he's going to be able to bust out and be an amazing running back who crushes ADP right away, and maybe not even at all this year.
Yeah,
I think he's a good pick around, like, where is it going? 72, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fine. 6-7 turn.
Yep. I think 6-7 is just about over, which I'm glad about.
My daughter does it all the time. It's ridiculous. I don't know. She's the last person who does it.
This is from Paulius. Buy or sell, Caleb Williams will be a top five quarterback in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues.
I can't go there.
Yeah.
Not with so many other quarterbacks that can do a lot of the things that Caleb has done, but is more accurate than Caleb.
Buy or sell from Jaquan. Luther Burden will finish the season as a top 10 wide receiver in all formats.
Top 10, though.
That's happening if something bad happens to Loveland or Odunze.
Yeah, I think seems most likely.
That's got to happen.
I'm guessing more. I don't know. I was going to say more likely in non-PPR. Oh, he's an interesting one because I don't know that Burden's going to get a ton of targets. He's probably going to be really good with the targets, but I also don't think he's going to score a lot of touchdowns. So one thing suggests not as good in full, but the other suggests not as good in non-PPR. So I don't know. Next, buy or sell. That was helpful. Buy or sell from Greg Harris. Dominance, buy or sell. Dominance switches back two wide receivers from running backs this year.
I feel like we've had enough conversations this offseason about what teams are thinking about doing as far as being bigger and stronger and using multiple tight ends and what that could mean to wide receivers. And I feel like the end result is until defenses start being forced to stack up against the run, I don't know if we're going to see it completely pivot back the other way. Remember, and Scott Turner talked about this a couple of weeks ago, like defenses are fine giving up runs of 4, 5, 6 yards. They don't want to give up the big play. And so if they're going to continue playing cover two defenses and quarters coverage and all this stuff that's meant to deter defenses from throwing passes 15 plus yards downfield, then loading up with tight ends and running behind them and using fullbacks and all that stuff and having bigger people is going to lead to good rushing numbers. And running backs have been really good for fantasy. It's 2 years running now, and I think it's going to be three. So I'm going to sell that.
I think you got to get last year. We kind of got lucky with a lot of running backs staying healthy. That's a big part of this too. You have an older Derrick Henry, an older Christian McCaffrey. Can those guys hold up and still be as good as they were? You know, there's probably another handful of guys that fall in that category too. And we got really lucky with that too, fantasy wise.
But yeah, you're right. Buy or sell from Raul. Jalen Coker is wide receiver one in Carolina.
So.
Yeah, I'm not ready to buy it. Not even close. But what's his ADP? It's after round 10, is it not?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a super cheap lottery ticket. And he could still be good, and he proved it last year, that he can be proved. I mean, it was late last year, but he proved it that he can still put up good fantasy numbers, even with McMillan on the field. But the last thing we heard about McMillan was that he was going to play more in the slot. He only did it like 15% of his snaps last year. And if that doubles, that's taking a role away from Jalen Coker. I think that matters a little bit. So Coker's a good, he's a good bench receiver, but to expect him to just take a huge jump, I don't think it's happening. Not with McMillan on the field. And then just everything else that's been going on in Carolina makes me a little icky to take any Panthers players, period.
Sean says, bye. Dave looks 40. He's not even saying buy or sell. He's just saying bye. Dave looks 40.
Dave looks the same since the first day I met.
I didn't have white goatee hair when you met me. But other than that, basically the same.
And Eric says, Adam, is the pick-by-pick league and auction league using Quan as currency? That's a very good Jerry Maguire reference. One I would not have gotten had I not watched it on Friday night. Dave is on the clock. What's Dave going to do? Dave has Bijan. This is a three-receiver PPR league. Dave has Bijan Robinson, Saquon Barkley. He went running back. Emeka Buka, Tetero McMillan, and Tyler Warren. And he's on the clock.
What's wrong with going running back?
Nothing.
Especially when you're getting Bijan at third overall and Saquon Barkley in late round two. I thought that those were excellent values.
Yeah. I would not use the word excellent. I mean, they basically went where they are supposed to go. Maybe.
Well, I mean, Bijan usually should go second.
Yeah, I took Chase.
You took Chase over Bijan. I welcomed that because it was easy for me. I'm taking whoever you don't take at three, yeah, or whoever you don't take. You've had the second pick. Gibbs went one. Everybody can figure it out. You're taking who's ever left from Chase and Bijan at three.
Yeah, I'm fine with Chase at three, but a two rather. Okay. Who are you going to take, bud? Let's go.
I think I'm going to leave quarterback alone. I've got two wide receivers and a tight end. I'm going to not stay exactly true to my board. Basil Tootin is the highest ranked player I have left, but I'm going to take Brian Thomas Jr. because it's a three receiver league.
Basil Tootin was already taken.
Even better. When was he taken?
Three picks earlier.
Oh yeah, there he is. Heath took him.
Sorry for
wasting your time.
We'll read some emails and tweets to finish the show. From David, I love the potential for Luther Burden. However, as the wide receiver 23 going in the fourth round, are we drafting Luther Burden near his ceiling?
I don't think so.
I think it's a little close to a ceiling. I think he's right.
Go ahead.
He can be like a top 15 receiver. That's the ceiling. There's enough receivers in between where he could end up and where we're drafting him that it's okay. But he's popular, and he really showed late last season that he was a good player. The film showed that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right, from Zach. I guess my real question is, why is three running backs in the first three rounds not used more?
Running backs in the first three rounds?
Yeah. Right, so starting running back.
So I was curious to see what you were going to do, Dave, with the third overall pick and what I wasn't going to do it. Who else was it? Maybe it was Dave's second team too, with Josh Jacobs if he had fallen to you. So you had the opportunity to take Bijan, Barkley, and Jacobs. You took Abuka.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also had the opportunity potentially, if he had fallen one more spot, to take Cook, Brown, and then Jacobs. Clearly you passed on him twice or once.
I would have been a hard time passing on him twice.
That's the type of guy, him or probably Jeremiah Love or Kyren, depending on how you feel about those three players. I think Jacob's the easy one if there's no suspension. Like if you start running back. So like Dave's, process here of taking Bijan could have been either with the second overall pick or the third overall pick here. But I guess I could have done the same thing too if I decided to take three running backs. But Jacobs to me is probably the one that you do it. So you go back to the draft that we talked about last week. Where I went with the seventh pick, Taylor, Walker, Abuka, Breece Hall. I could have easily taken Breece Hall in the third round, which is kind of close to his ADP. And then I just would have been chasing receivers even more. So I don't love it.
Okay. Yeah.
I love it if it's a two running back, two wide receiver, one or two flex, half PPR or non-PPR league.
If you believe that receiver is weak now, then it's really hard to leave your draft without a really without a stud, without taking one in the first two rounds or maybe early in the third round.
Not necessarily, because I think there are enough wide receivers that you can make a bull upside case for that aren't going. There's really like, what, maybe 10 wide receivers that you would classify that way, Adam?
I like to think more, but more like 12. Let's see.
It's not that much more.
Yeah, you might be right. Well, wide receiver 10 in our consensus is Pickens, then A.J. Brown. I'll say 11.
Yeah, A.J. Brown should definitely be in there. Pickens should probably be in there. Yeah, 11's fine. That's middling it between the two of us, but that's still not a lot.
No, it's not. It's not, but if you're...
But yeah, that being said, in a full PPR, three receiver, one flex league, I get why people would want to prioritize that position.
Okay. Oh, last question is from Lindsay Wolf. Lindsay says, I haven't heard too much about which TV shows you guys are watching. I love the debates. Is anyone watching House of the Dragon? Jamie definitely is. Jamie watches every HBO show.
Actually, I'm not. Really? I'm not seeing it.
You haven't seen any of it yet, or just the new season?
No, not the new season.
Right. Yeah, same here. I've heard that the other Game of Thrones show, what was it? Knights of the Seventh Kingdom or whatever.
I've not seen that one either.
I heard that's incredible. Really quick and funny. I watched The Hawk with Will Ferrell. It's not going to go down as an all-time great, but it was enjoyable. I really want to watch Widow's Bay. I'd like to get back into Landman. But right
now, I did watch...
I'm in trouble finding time.
I watched the first season of The Punisher. I had not seen that.
Yeah, whatever. I would never watch that. Is it on Paramount Plus? Okay, because then, yeah, okay, I would never watch that. Well, that's it for our show. Have a wonderful Monday. We'll talk to you on Tuesday, and then Wednesday, position previews start. Holy moly. See ya.
Paramount Podcasts.